Welcome to SCOTUSCast, class-wide arbitration edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 27, 2011, the Supreme Court announced its decision in AT&T Mobility versus Concepcion. Section 2 of the Federal Arbitration Act, or FAA, makes agreements to arbitrate valid, irrevocable, and enforceable, save upon grounds as exist at law or in equity for the revocation of any contract. The question in this case was whether the FAA bars states from conditioning the enforceability of certain arbitration agreements on the availability of class-wide arbitration procedures. In an opinion delivered by Justice Scalia, the court held by a vote of 5-4 that because state laws that condition the enforceability of certain arbitration agreements on the availability of class-wide arbitration procedures is an obstacle to the accomplishment and execution of the full purposes and objectives of Congress, the FAA bars such laws. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Kennedy, Thomas, and Alito joined Justice Scalia's opinion. Justice Thomas filed a concurring opinion. Justice Breyer filed a dissenting opinion, which Justices Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan joined. To discuss the case, we have Brian T. Fitzpatrick, who is an associate professor of law at Vanderbilt University Law School. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Fitzpatrick.
The Supreme Court decided the case AT&T Mobility v. Concepcion. The decision was a big win for the business community in what may prove to be one of the most important class action cases in a very long time. The question in Concepcion was whether arbitration agreements that include class action waivers are enforceable. The court held that such waivers are enforceable, even though they might be unconscionable under state contract law, because the Federal Arbitration Act preempts state unconscionability law in this context. The decision allows businesses to contract out of class action litigation in consumer cases, and very likely in other cases as well, such as employment cases and maybe even shareholder cases. Because these subject areas make up the vast majority of class action cases against businesses today, the case raises the possibility that businesses may be able to exempt themselves from class actions across the range of their activities. The case arose out of the purchase of AT&T cell phone service by the Concepciones in California. AT&T promised the Concepciones and others a free cell phone if they signed up, but then AT&T charged them $30.22 for sales tax on the value of the phone. They filed suit in a class action case against AT&T, alleging false advertising and fraud in the United States District Court for the Southern District of California. AT&T moved to dismiss the suit because when the Concepciones signed up for service, they agreed to arbitrate any claims they might have against AT&T. The Concepciones argued that the arbitration agreement was unenforceable under California law because it included a provision preventing them from pursuing arbitration as part of a class of other consumers. The Concepciones noted that the California Supreme Court has held that class action waivers, whether they operate in arbitration or in court, are unconscionable because they permit defendants to escape liability in circumstances where class actions are the only viable manner of redress, as when plaintiffs, like the Concepciones, suffered only small injuries. AT&T countered that the Federal Arbitration Act of 1925, the FAA, which renders all arbitration agreements valid and enforceable, preempted the California doctrine against class action waivers. But the FAA has an exception, known as a savings clause, for grounds that exist for the revocation of any contract. The central question in the case was whether the California unconscionability doctrine against class action waivers constituted a, quote, ground for the revocation of any contract. The district court found that it did, holding California law not preempted by the FAA and permitting the Concepcion's class action suit to go forward. The United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit affirmed. By a 5-4 vote, divided along ideological lines, the Supreme Court reversed. Writing for the majority, Justice Scalia said that although the Savings Clause of the FAA preserves generally applicable contract defenses, it does not preserve defenses that stand as an obstacle to the FAA's objective of promoting arbitration. That is, even state law rules that do not explicitly discriminate against arbitration can be preempted if they disproportionately burden arbitration. And so Justice Scalia said it was with the California unconscionability doctrine against class action waivers. Although the court acknowledged that unconscionability is a generally applicable grounds for invalidating a contract, and although the court acknowledged that the California doctrine invalidated class action waivers in arbitration as well as in court, the court held that the doctrine disproportionately burdened arbitration. Justice Scalia said this was the case because businesses forced to face class actions would prefer to do so in court rather than in arbitration. Class actions, Justice Scalia said, greatly increased the risk to businesses, and businesses would not be willing to take those risks without the judicial review that accompanies class actions in court. If businesses could not waive class actions, Justice Scalia thought they would forego arbitration altogether. That, in the court's view, was too great a burden on arbitration to be consistent with the FAA. Justice Scalia acknowledged that one consequence of the court's ruling might be that small injuries caused by businesses would go unremedied, because redressing such injuries might be viable only if aggregated into some sort of class action. But this was no matter. States, he said, quote, cannot require a procedure that is inconsistent with the FAA, even if it is desirable for unrelated reasons. Justice Thomas filed an opinion concurring in Justice Scalia's opinion. Justice Breyer wrote the dissenting opinion. In his view, the Savings Clause of the FAA saved any state law doctrine that applied to arbitration and litigation alike, and as California's doctrine invalidated class action waivers in both contexts, he thought it was not preempted by the FAA. Moreover, he challenged the lack of empirical evidence for the court's claim that businesses would forego arbitration if they had to face class actions there. Justice Breyer noted that countless businesses had been involved in arbitration class actions, that class actions are resolved much quicker in arbitration than in court, and that arbitration has been used by businesses even in situations where hundreds of millions of dollars were at stake. Finally, Justice Breyer argued that the court's holding would permit businesses to insulate themselves from liability altogether in many instances where they cause small injuries, because the only viable litigation vehicle in such cases is a class action. Quote, what rational lawyer would have signed on to represent the Concepciones in litigation for the possibility of fees stemming from a $30.22 claim, he asked. It is difficult to overstate the importance of the court's ruling in Concepcion. It has the potential to permit businesses to insulate themselves from class action liability across a broad range of their activities. Whenever businesses are in a transactional relationship with potential plaintiffs, businesses can now ask those potential plaintiffs to sign arbitration agreements with class action waivers and thereby avoid the possibility of class action suits. Thus, it is possible that Concepcion will lead to a radical reduction, if not outright eradication, of consumer class actions. This is the case because when businesses sell their products, they can ask consumers, whether in an agreement at the point of sale or in contractual language affixed to the product's packaging, to agree to arbitration without class actions and thereby exempt themselves from consumer class actions. But that is not all. Businesses can also ask their employees to sign such agreements and exempt themselves from labor and employment class actions. It may even be possible for businesses to ask shareholders to enter such agreements and exempt themselves from securities fraud class actions. Indeed, after the Supreme Court made it very difficult to certify mass tort class actions in the 1990s, pretty much the only class actions businesses face these days are actions against consumers, employees, and shareholders. To the extent Concepcion permits businesses to contract around such class actions, it may permit businesses to largely opt out of class action liability altogether. Moreover, because individual claims are unviable for some or all plaintiffs in these contexts, businesses may be able to greatly reduce the liability they face for their activities. It is possible that other provisions of federal law will prevent businesses from exploiting Concepcion outside the consumer context. For example, in 1990, the SEC balked at a proposed corporate charter that would have forced current and former shareholders to pursue securities fraud claims in arbitration. It is also possible that federal labor and employment laws could be construed to guarantee employees the opportunity to pursue claims on a class-wide basis. But it is far from certain these other federal laws can be construed to guarantee class-wide proceedings. And it is equally uncertain that even if they did, they would trump the FAA. In short, AT&T v. Concepcion may be one of the biggest wins for businesses in a very long time. The decision permits businesses to largely eradicate consumer class actions so long as they do so by means of an arbitration agreement, and it may permit them to eradicate class actions in most other areas as well. Although Congress could overturn the Supreme Court's interpretation of the FAA, and indeed members of Congress have already denounced the court's decision, any such action seems unlikely in light of the divided partisan leadership in Congress.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.